You are listening to the Essence of Change podcast, a conversation where transformation happens, with your co-hosts Omar Ben Musa and Dr. Keith Blevins. Here is the 9th episode.
Hi and welcome everyone to a new episode of the Essence of Change podcast. I'm your co-host Omar Ben Musa, and today I'm joined, as always, with Dr. Keith Blevins. So good to see you, Keith.
Good to see you too, Omar. It's so good to see you.
Amazing. So today we want to explore actually a really interesting topic of chronic pain. And so today's episode is going to be focused on what does thought has to do with chronic pain. And so, you know, chronic pain is any pain that carries on for longer than 12 weeks, despite medication or treatment. And there are like a different kind of pain, like back pain, neck pain, cancer pain near a tumor, headaches, testicular pain, lasting pain in scar tissues, and so on. And so we really want to explore today what this has to do with thought. Not what I think and what Keith thinks, but the fact that we think. And so we're going to get even deeper to really see and get in touch with the essence of change, where actually chronic pain is healed. So like to me, like from my experience, I've worked with several people who experience chronic pain from, you know, pain on like not moving their joint or back pain. And one of the things that I noticed is that once they understand like what like the role of thought that it's played in here, the pain kind of dissipates and go away. And I, like for me and for us, it's a miracle to our intellect, but it's really something absolutely normal in the realm of spirituality and beyond our intellect. And so this is what we're going to explore today. We want to explore what causes people to experience healing, even they've been experiencing chronic pain for a long time, and if it's possible for them to come back to normal and be pain-free.
You know, one of the things that people automatically start to think about, well, is this sort of like a new medicine, a new pill, a new pain intervention strategy, but it's different from that, because it really, to me, Omar, and I don't know if you would agree with this, but to me, it approaches the principles. Approach the question of experience itself, the experience of pain or the experience of not pain, of beauty, of all experience, positive or negative. What is that possible without these three principles, universal mind, universal consciousness, universal thought? And the answer is no. That link has now been disappeared by this understanding, what we're talking about, these principles and how they directly connect to everything. They're not somewhere else that we need to bring their connection in. They're already connected. And we've discovered their role and their role, as we're talking about it here, their role in our own pain and in other people's pain is fundamental. Like, you can't have any feeling without these principles. Just knowing that inexplicable, miraculous fact of that, it does something to, it has done something to me to make my own physical life be less pain-free, and I keep finding ways that it can even be more pain-free. Like I was telling someone the other day, my gut, I've had a gut illness, you might say, for since 1980, which is what, 42 years, and by gosh, I had this insight into a deeper nature of the principles, and that gut pain has significantly changed, and I don't know how else to account for it, because I had it for 42 years. It's not like it's completely gone, but man, the enormity of it is just gone from being like you know, the Empire State Building to being a small shop in New York somewhere. Like it's really different. What can account for that? There was no new medications, no new pills, no new techniques, no new, but these insights about the relevance of these, of the principles to me and the human experience of everyone just got deeper. And when that did, something really important happened to my health. Really important. And that's not the only place that it showed up, was my gut, but my sleep and my energy and my inspiration and my sense of humor and my love and kindness and generosity of spirit, all have been profoundly impacted. What is that? How is that possible?
It sounds like something miraculous happens, you know, like when we get through these pains. And I mean, I haven't experienced like any chronic pain, but I do remember when I did experience a back pain for less than 12 weeks, right? It did really bother me and call my attention, and I was thinking about it every day, and I was trying to fix it, and I still remember I went to a physiotherapist, and he gave me some exercises that worked sometimes they didn't work, but you know, like something happened afterward that like I at some point, I totally forgot about the pain. And when I remembered that I had back pain, like a few days ago, it really struck me that, you know, like I didn't notice that. So I didn't
you mean know you, what... You didn't notice the disappearance of it?
Yeah, I didn't even notice the disappearance of it.
Right.
And so, like, in hindsight now, like, when I look back and recall this experience, I could see that my thinking changed. And I wasn't, like, thinking my pain away. I wasn't, you know, like, just focusing about it. Like, And at some point, it just went away, and I didn't do anything about it. I wasn't even taking medication for it. And I thought, like, my mind was going, ooh, with this, because I thought that I might need a surgery, and, you know, like, I'm still young, and, you know, and I was like, what if I have a surgery, and I wouldn't be able to go to play tennis, go to the gym, and I'll be, like, I would not get married when I grow up or something. Like, I had some crazy thoughts. And I think, you know, like this is what happens with most people who experience, but like, I'm not undermining people who experience chronic pain. I know it's horrible. I know it's really horrible to experience a pain, especially for years. Yet there is something that's once we grasp how like the role of thoughts in this, and that every experience we are having is through our thinking, and that our bodies or that that back pain or whatever pain you're experiencing is not separate from thoughts. And in fact, it's thought that lets us have an experience of this pain. It really does something miraculous, like you shared, Keith. And I wouldn't consider what happened to me miraculous. Even it might be miraculous for some people who might be hearing this, but it might be like something normal for some. But once we fall out of our thinking about pain, that space we fall into is a space of this is the essence of change, right? This is where we experience our true self beyond our bodies, and that really help us to feel good and to heal us and to let the pain go away.
You know, one of the things that in our book, Val Denight's book, Suffering Needlessly, that Sidney Banks said that I'm reminded of, he said, so he had this tremendous, incredible, miraculous experience of these three principles, and he and people heard about it, and he was just a welder, and so they showed up from all sorts of places, and people would be camped out on his lawn and what have you, and many people came from Tibet, monks from Tibet came, and he had no idea who was spreading the word, but you know, it was out. And he said when people came, they presented themselves as sort of like the enlightenment police or something, you know, like I'm going to check you out and see. He could see that was their attitude. They were kind of like posing as to see if this is he the real deal or not. And but then they would talk to him, and he remarks in our book that why didn't they know that this, the knowledge that they were seeking and that he found, didn't have anything to do with the body, nothing at all. And they were referring to it as though it was a physical thing, but it was spiritual, but not, and the spiritual was, and the physical are one, but he was struck by, they just had half the formula. And they would leave. And he said it broke his heart that they were this close, you know, almost nose to nose with the answer that they were really seeking, and they couldn't hear it. Because they thought differently. They thought it was physical. It was in the body somewhere. That the source of pain would be in the body. And he said, no, it's not. It's in the mind and consciousness and thought. That's the beginning of psychology, of the psychology of experience. All experience, all pain, all suffering, and all everything else as one discriminator and one place to look. And they said, well, no, not really. There's another place to look over here. And he couldn't get that across to them that they were looking in the wrong place.
So what I heard you saying is that looking in the wrong place for healing is actually making it even worse, you know, to experience pain.
Yes. It perpetuates it, and it layers it because it looks like it's got to do with time and the physicality. It doesn't. So you just the mere fact that you're not looking, you're not using the principles, you might say, how he said it properly. When you're not using them, as he said, properly, you must create suffering and pain. And when you're using them properly, that vanishes. And what an amazing thing to discover that that's really the source.
You know, it's really interesting you mentioned that because sometimes, you know, like even we know about this understanding, we still think that there might be something else that we don't know about that we could know about that could help us heal from pain, any kind of pain, not just chronic pain. And like what occurred to me when I thought of that is that we are using the three principles to look for another alternative. And for me, when you said that, like when Sydney Banks said, when you quoted Sydney Banks saying that you're not using the three principles properly, I think that this could fall into that as well. That trying to go out to the illusion to fix the illusion is another way to experience more suffering and pain. I mean, the pain is real. The pain is absolutely real.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the way we experience the pain is coming from our thinking, from the power of thought, the fact that we think. And we don't really need to add into it and play with it because that's causing ourselves more pain.
In my mind, Omar, there was some point it occurred to me the personalization of pain, when it's personal, there's a personalization, let's say, the personal mind, personal thinking system is not in sync with its own nature, its own divine mind nature. So it looks like there's two minds, and you're in this individual mind, and you're trying to fix what's broken and you're suffering. And when that little mind, when there's a synchronization of that little mind with its own spiritual root of divine mind, there is harmony. It produces harmony.
Oh, yeah.
And harmony is such a overwhelmingly natural condition that the whole world could be or has the potential to live in harmony. And we just don't see the synchronization possibility that every person is equipped to have that secretization, and that's what we're talking about, helps even chronic pain, all pain.
I love that, Keith. And you know, I had a conversation with a lady that reached out to me and asked me if, you know, if we could have a conversation about her pain. And she has this really horrible stomach pain that prevented her from enjoying her holidays with her kids and husband. And bless her heart. And she shared with me how horrible it is, and everything is going well in her life. She doesn't have any problems. She loves her family. You know, she's like, okay, everything is okay from the outside. But that stomach pain is what's preventing her from enjoying these things. And so we talked about this gift of thought, and that the experience of pain is always coming from thought, and it's not the body informing our thinking that we are experiencing pain, but that experience is through our thinking. And without thoughts, we wouldn't even feel anything. We'd be dead. And at some point, I still remember, at some point she got really quiet. And what occurred to me to tell her next is to pause for 5 minutes and I'll come back. And then I came back after 5 minutes and she was still, you know, like enjoying that beautiful feeling that she tapped into, her true self, that harmony feeling. And she stayed in that feeling for almost 10 minutes. And then at some point she told me, oh, sorry, like I didn't even notice the time, but thank you. That was beautiful. I feel good. I don't feel pain. Now, like I was surprised, you know, like because we like it's the first time we talk. We never talked before. And you know, I wanted at least to her to leave the conversation, you know, like feeling that there is hope to feel better. But, you know, at some point she fell out of her thinking about pain, her stomach pain and everything. And she felt good according to her words. And she was even sharing that, you know, like she sees some pink light and it's just beautiful. And but like that was really beautiful to witness and see. And it doesn't have anything to do with me, but she heard something that got her to see what's going on inside of her. Mm-hmm. And she got a glimpse of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is within everybody, not this only this particular lady or Sydney Banks or you, Keith, or myself. Mm-hmm. It's within all of us. We all have access to that, and that's a beautiful thing. I'll keep saying this again and again.
It struck me when you said after she's had this healing, you said, well, I don't know, I may be construing it when you said, I want you to have hope that this could continue. But even that moment of trying to encourage her, she didn't really need the, you know, like that's kind of like after the fact, you know, you see she's really had something happen. And it's happened for her and has its own legs and has its own reality for her. And no sorts of wishful thinking, or I mean, you might as well have said, well, I'll send you a card every year to remind you of this or whatever, you know, like that doesn't really pertain, does it? You know, it's sort of like good wishes or wishful thinking. It doesn't really pertain to the way life really works, that life is meant to be or is suffering free, is a real it's a shocker, and nothing we can do about that, you know. That what a beautiful humility you have, and you have it. I've seen that in you, Omar, and I really honor it.
Like it's just amazing to be with a person while they see this, Keith. I like it's just amazing to witness this, and I would love to see more of that, because like I know that some people think that this is an exception, or you know, like I know the three principles, but this is not happening with me. But there is something much deeper than that. And thinking that we know the three principles is our ego standing in the way or blocking us to see more, to get access to that space of healing and the essence of change. And that's priceless, to drop this ego. Because you could start from scratch again and see something new. And I still get caught up in my ego from time to time, but like once I see through that, I could start over again and see something new, and then start from scratch again and then see something new. And so like what I was saying is that in my mind, it was like that because I didn't know that this lady, you know, about this understanding, like, you know, you never know when a person could hear something, even they don't know about this understanding, because, you know, like we are always in it and using it all the time, that people might hear something even they don't know about the three principles. I mean, it's not about time. It's not about being 1 year, 2 years, 1 decade, 2 decades. It has nothing to do with time. But it has something to do with hearing beyond the words when we slow down. And it's actually in slowing down that I could see myself caught up in my ego, or I could see myself caught up in my insecure thinking. Could see myself caught up in whatever I'm caught up in. My pain. And I could see beyond it and let it pass. Because like when I'm not seeing that, I'm grabbing into it. And I'm like, why am I feeling this way? and so like it's really natural. And the thing is that either trying to do with chronic pain or an insecure thought, from a deeper level, it's all the same. We're trying to fix something that doesn't need fixing. And you know, like sometimes not even thinking about the pain, and we experience the pain in our bodies, like it just being caught up in our stressful thinking about something in our lives, whatever that is, a difficult partner or work or you know, or war, or you know, like what's happening in the world, and really taking in that and engaging with that, and that really causes us to feel and experience pain without chronic pain, like we could be suffering, but when there is pain in our bodies, we make it even worse.
I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but I remember some account that I read once that this woman was put under hypnosis to do these really dramatic, drastic dental surgeries. And there were root canals. There were all kinds of really painful processes of procedures. And she couldn't take drugs, as I remember now. She couldn't take drugs. But she just found within her, I think she found the principles. And she, and upon report, they asked her, well, what did it feel like when all this was all being done to you? And she said, I could feel the pressure of their chipping and manipulations and digging and what have you in the oral surgery, but I felt no pain. And I thought that was really interesting. And I just realized that I remember that story from years ago, but I think there would be, you know, when people don't have pain, they might have sensation, but they don't have pain. The pain is not connected to the body. That's connected to the principles. And wow, that's an important thing that people could, if they knew more about, if we knew more about that, if we could share that more often, that would, what a beautiful thing that would be for people with all sorts of pains.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think this is a really good place to end this beautiful conversation. I just want to mention something briefly before we end this, about our upcoming study group, the Scientific Psychology of the Future, which is going to start on January the 10th. And so we already have a few people with us, and we want to keep it to 16 people max. And so if everyone want to join the program, just get in touch with me and book a call with me on www.omarbenmoussa.com/TSPOTF.
Thank you, Omar.
Thank you.